This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. In the aftermath of the devastating 2010 earthquake in Haiti that killed hundreds of thousands of people, President Barack Obama granted temporary protected status for undocumented Haitians who fled to the U.S. That status enabled Haitians to live and work in the U.S., but not apply for permanent residency. Now, just days before it was due to expire, Donald Trump's administration offered a reprieve and extended TPS for Haitians, but only for 6 months. Given the virulently anti-immigrant rhetoric flowing out of Trump's mouth, the often ignored status of undocumented Haitians remains insecure. My guest is Nana Brantuo. She is the policy manager at the group Black Alliance for Just Immigration. Welcome to the program, Nana.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. First, let's talk about the context, the little bit of background. I understand TPS is something that people from war-torn nations are often granted. It was passed by Congress in the 90s. And after the Haitian earthquake of 2010, Haitians in the U.S. without legal status were given that same status. But even that wasn't an easy fight, right? How did didn't President Obama really have to be pushed and urged into granting Haitians TPS in the first place?
Yes, it's in particular, TPS for Haiti has been, it's really been a push from community advocates, but also folks on the Hill and all types of groups that have really been pushing to recognize the circumstances that Haiti was dealing with following the earthquake, which also brought on a cholera epidemic as well. So it was getting folks to recognize not only do we have damage to the physical infrastructure, but we also have people who are dying because of disease, right? And the epidemic is still actually ongoing in Haiti as well.
So it's been 7 years since that earthquake. And this is important. How much work needs to be done to rebuild the country? I mean, we're talking people, you know, if we're talking on the scale of death, going into the hundreds of thousands, that for a small country, that's just unimaginable. Even 7 years later, is there still so much left to be done?
There is a lot to be done. And I think what people fail to realize is understanding sort of the compounded effects of governance in Haiti. We have a series of dictators that had ruled the nation, and in that did not invest in what was best for the people. And that continues on with the ruling elite in Haiti as well. So with not only the earthquake, but then a hurricane, which was in 2015 or 2016 as well, added on with the cholera epidemic. So now we have continued environmental disaster. We have folks who are being killed because of disease. Things just compound and make the situation for Haiti to build itself up a lot more difficult than it would have been if we didn't have to deal with these several unfortunate events that impacted the nation quite in quite depth.
And of course, we could spend hours talking about the history of Haiti and its relationship with the U.S. and U.S. interference in Haiti. But for the purposes of our discussion mm-hmm. of TPS and temporary protected status, what was the situation under Obama in terms of the granting of TPS to Haitians? The T in TPS is temporary. So how long a status or protection did President Obama offer?
So under Obama, and he did what's typically done in terms of extension was for an 18-month period. The only time we've seen these six-month periods is when, for sure, DHS is going to eliminate temporary protected status for a country or a set of countries. So when we saw, as we know with West Africa, with Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone, they were granted a six-month extension, and it was not reauthorized, it wasn't redesignated. So TPS for about close to 4,000 West Africans has now expired, and now these folks are undocumented and living quite in fear, considering the administration. Mm-hmm. So that's our general fear as well. With a six-month extension, we've seen what it's done prior, in particular with Black immigrants. So our worry is that the administration will, it's a bittersweet extension. We'll give you the 6 months, and then by January 22nd, you have to leave the nation within 60 days.
Right. In fact, it's being reported in the press as a as a victory that the 6 months were granted, given the anti-immigrant rhetoric coming out of the Trump administration. I suppose a lot of people were expecting that, given the chance, Trump would let this expire. But a six-month extension, you're saying, is actually an indication that this could be not renewed. However, there is a lot of support in Washington, D.C. among lawmakers. There have been letters sent by senators on both sides of the aisle and representatives on both sides of the aisle to the Trump administration, urging him to renew and extend TPS, right?
Yes, the CBC and the congressional, the CBC Congressional Black Caucus, as well as the Congressional Progressive Caucus, as well, has done a lot of work in terms of having briefings, Dear Colleague letters, reaching out to the Department of Homeland Security to speak to Secretary Kelly to encourage the reauthorization or the redesignation of TPS for Haiti. And Congresswoman Yvette Clark in particular actually introduced a bill to the House that, if passed, would redesignate Haiti for TPS for the 18-month period. So there's been a lot of cooperation and positive energy coming from folks on the Hill. So largely, it has a lot to do with the Department of Homeland Security, because Secretary Kelly is the one who makes the ultimate decision. And he has, as is noted through interviews and through press briefings and conferences, is that he is quite anti-immigration and is working alongside with the Trump administration to continue on with this mass deportation.
And we should also remind ourselves, we're talking about a very small number of immigrants here, right? It's on the order of about 50,000 throughout the entire country that have TPS?
Yes, for Haiti, yes.
For Haiti specifically. And the Associated Press in early May had an exclusive where they discovered evidence that the Trump administration was hunting, this is the words of the AP, hunting for evidence of crimes committed by Haitian immigrants as it decides whether to allow them to continue participating in TPS. How unprecedented is that? How unusual is that? What is your reaction to this exclusive, to this revelation?
For me, and for a lot of colleagues that I work with, this is when we see an alignment or a cross-section of xenophobia with anti-Blackness. And we see largely in today's media, when we hear the president, attorney general, Secretary Kelly of Homeland Security talking about immigration, it's very much painting the immigrant as a threat to public safety, as a threat to the livelihood of America. And in that, we also have this alignment of labeling Black people as inherently criminal as well. So I wasn't surprised, but I found it to be extremely disgusting and underhanded of the administration to do such a thing, considering the fact that Haitians have been a part of American society for quite some time. And it's a very vibrant community that continually contributes to the fabric of this nation.
Right. I mean, according to AP, the request for criminal data for an entire community is unorthodox. I mean, basically, it looks like the Trump administration went hunting for evidence of, some kind of data that it could wave as a justification for denying Haitians the status, which is quite consistent with the office that they recently established, the hotline that they recently established for victims of crimes committed at the hands of undocumented immigrants to call. I can't imagine they would receive that many calls, given that studies show that immigrants tend to commit far fewer crimes per capita than natural-born citizens, right?
Right. I mean, it's just this continued sort of criminalization of the immigrant, especially because we know that there are a large number of immigrants that come here who are people of color, who are Muslims, who are deviating from Trump's idea of what America is supposed to be, which is supposed to be a white America, his opinion.
And what is the Trump administration's position, if it's even known, on Haiti and the status in Haiti? Because the extension of TPS is dependent on making the case that the home country of these displaced people or, you know, people who have fled, refugees, if you will, is still too insecure, too unstable for them to return to. Has the Trump administration declared Haiti a safe, stable place?
Not directly, but Trump did go to Little Haiti in Miami and was speaking with the Haitian community, advocates and activists in particular, engaging them in conversation, and spoke to them and assured them that he would work alongside the Haitian American community. So we're really waiting to see, well, what does that mean and what does that look like under this administration? And considering the fact that we have a number of, in particular, like from the legal and political end, a number of bills that are just looking to just funnel undocumented folks and funnel immigrants in general into this mass deportation machine of the administration. It's almost as if we can't trust the word. We have to trust the spoken word of the president, but we have to see it in policy and practice, and we have to see if he really is for or against our communities.
I mean, it's a very small thing that people are advocating and urging for. We're talking about 50,000 undocumented Haitians. We're talking about temporary status, which basically means they can live here, they can work here. And if they work here, they're paying into the system, they're contributing to the economy. It does not offer any pathway, legal pathway towards permanent residency, towards citizenship or anything, right? It basically means we won't deport you and we'll let you work here legally.
Right. There are some folks who, if they are able to, in terms of having family members, they are able to adjust their status by filing, if having a family member sponsor them.
Right.
But in and of itself, when we talk about temporary protected status, and it's for, I mean, there are a number of nations, El Salvador, Syria, Somalia, Yemen, so on and so forth, Sudan, a number of nationals that have TPS. But we acknowledge the fact that this is a very temporary solution to a larger issue in this nation, and this nation not wanting to sort of face up to the facts that there are a lot of things that politicians have done past and present that have more or less unstabilized many of the nations in which these people come from. So how do we go beyond TPS? How do we make sure that we have pathways to citizenship so folks can continue to live here unafraid of ICE coming to knock at their door and deport them?
And how have Haitian immigrants, but in general, Black immigrants, since your organization works specifically on this community, how have they fared in this new era of Trump? We know overall, for example, the arrests, detentions, and deportations of non-criminal immigrants has soared under Trump. Has that impacted the Black immigrant community in the same way or even more so?
Yes, even, and I mean, when we talk about deportation traditionally, or when we talk about immigration enforcement, we have to look at the cross-section of law enforcement. And the fact of the matter is, law enforcement is greatly biased against Black folks. And we've seen an overrepresentation in terms of Black folks in detention, us representing about 5.3% of the unauthorized or undocumented population in the country, but making about 20% of those who are in removal proceedings for criminal convictions. Like, this is a long history of criminalizing Black folks. So this is something that's been going on, but has increased, especially under the administration that we're living in now. I mean, we've seen Somali deportations rise tremendously, with about 5,000 Somalis being earmarked for deportation, as was noted by the Somali ambassador to the United States. So this is nothing new for us in terms of being targeted at a very heightened level, but it's definitely increased in levels. And it's definitely, it's making folks realize or fearful, but also emboldened to speak up against the administration.
So let's talk about what needs to happen now on specifically Haitians and TPS in the lead up to the Trump administration giving the very short 6-month reprieve. Black Alliance for Just Immigration, you put out a kit for people, an online kit for people to do advocacy work and activism. What are you urging now? What's the next step?
Well, definitely folks should be on the lookout, because we're also working on continued materials for the continued fight. We want to make sure that those Haitians that do have TPS re-register. Re-registration should be starting from today to about July 22nd. So we're encouraging folks to apply and apply early. That way they can maintain their status of as TPS holders. We're encouraging folks to continue to reach out to their congressional members and let them know how they feel about TPS and how they feel that TPS needs to be extended for the 18-month period. And we're also telling folks to pay attention to what's happening in their communities and working alongside folks. If there are Know Your Rights trainings, definitely get involved with that. If there are organizations that are doing work to build community, to figure out how we get direct services to undocumented folks that may not have TPS, we want to encourage folks to do that as well. And also in terms of the legislative side, paying attention to a lot of these bills that are being proposed. Right now, as we speak, the House Judiciary Committee is marking up several different bills, H.R. 2431, H.R. 2407, and 2406, that I can't even describe the devastation that would be brought upon the immigrant community in this nation if these bills are passed in the House. So pay attention to what's happening and call into your representatives, because they have to represent their constituents.
And it's amazing, if you actually look at polls, there is not nearly the amount of public support for harsh immigration as a lot of these anti-immigrant politicians claim there is. Nana, I want to thank you so much for spending this time with us and shedding light on this very important issue. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Have a good one. Thanks for having me.
You too. My guest is Nana Brantuo. She's the policy manager of the group Black Alliance for Just Immigration. They're online at blackalliance.org. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. Our website is risingupwithsonali.com, where you can find all of the links we mentioned on the air. You can also sign up for our daily newsletter and look for us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, as well as Vimeo.